Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
We're going to cause trouble. Scott Farrell is calling the shots from the sideline. We're going to make fun of people. We're going to hurt people's feelings. It's Farrell on the bench. I believe in whipped cream with everything. Bench in the biggest way possible, hanging out the bad seat, the broken day, the bad apple with a bad attitude, hanging around a bunch of bad attitude, bad taste, bad lot, bad dude, bad breath, bad attitude, bad vibes. We are live in the Magic City Studios in the Verona Palacio, riding across the river and through the woods from where Granny loves to talk on that Larry OG before bedtime in New York City. The Big Apple. Ooh. People dressed in plastic bags, bread and travis, some kind of fashion shake it up should do, but all my friends that come around, fight to party up, rats on the west side, bed bugs uptown, with a mess of tides and tatter, my brain splattered all over Manhattan, should be shake it up. Hey, what's gigging? I'm Pharrell. Mafia's running it. So, let's be clear. Mafia's livid tonight. He's just dyspeptic, distraught, out of hand, terse. Short-tempered, short-fused. He's just, the whole thing's insidious. He is just so angry that the remaining college football spreads are not out, that he can't even function. His body's irregular. He can't have a, you know, yam or anything like that. He can't bust off. You know, his normal, you know, post-game dinner debriefing in the header. Can't do anything. He can't even function. He's basically illiterate at this point based on no spreads for, like, all the games. Like, there's, you know, I mean, it's like there's 30% of the games are on the board and then, like, 70% aren't. And he's just had it. He's not even going to deal with it anymore. He's ready to just give up. He's had it. He's just not having it. He's just like, I don't even know. He may start playing pinochle. He may start playing, you know, rolling dice. He may start playing chess, checkers, Monopoly. I don't even know, because he's, you know, normally embedded in, you know, college football betting. It's just embedded. And then when it's, you know, just not up to snuff and not up to par and there's, you know, no reason for it. They did the same thing last week. They wait till, you know, the last minute and then they give you all these crappy, gigantic lines for mismatches. And it's just, you know, Mavi doesn't have enough time to mess around with gigantic 45-point spreads in games that are meaningless. And it just sends him in. He's angry, gets, you know, he's not safe to be around. I mean,
all this is true.
Even, he won't look, he won't even, he'll just admit it's true. He won't even.
So it's absolutely true. And you know, when you started this, I thought you were just talking about how mad I was that the Mets can't score a single run against the crappy Miami Marlins. But no, this is worse. This is a bigger problem here. This is systemic issues right here that these guys, these bookmakers, it's their job to come up with these lines by Wednesday before college football, and they can't get it done. I don't care if it's week two. Do your work.
It's like it's, you know, past 10 o'clock East on a Wednesday night, And I know there's not games until Friday. When are they planning on giving us the spreads tomorrow at 10 o'clock at night? I mean, do you think any of these sports books, any of them at all? I mean, it's like, what are they waiting for? The second coming? Like, did any of them just get it done? I mean, is there one that even gets it done besides, you know, none? I mean, it's just, it's truly unbelievable. I sit and wait all week for these spreads, and they never come out. I don't even know why I do it anymore. I mean, I really don't. All the NFL spreads are out. College football, they just refuse to put the spreads out. We welcome our radio affiliate, SiriusXM, Mightier 1090, Sports Map, Sports Byline, on Sports Radio. Hello, it's Pharrell on a bench in the biggest way possible, hanging out. But Mafia's done with it. He's like ready to start watching tennis. I mean, he's like, he's already got one foot out the door with the UFC. I mean, he's all in. He's embedded. He's all about mixed martial arts. But he used to like care about college football betting. And now, like, I went by his house the other day. He was building a fence. He was cutting wood, growing a beard. I mean, drinking. I mean, he used to make a drink, he used to make a mixed drink, like a Jack, you know, and rocks. But now he just drinks it warm right out of the bottle.
I'm not a patient man, Scott, and it's just getting right through me. I mean, I just can't put up with this ineptitude.
He spills it all over himself. He's got like a wife beater T-shirt on. It's got like Jack spilled all over it. I'm surprised he's not smoking cigarettes at this point, picking his teeth. I mean, I saw him. He was in shorts, like jorts, jean shorts, and he had Timberline boots on and a wife beater stained with Jack. And I was just stunned that he wasn't smoking a Marlboro Red. And it was all because he knew what was going to happen with the delay in spread release in college football. It's got him so flustered. He's growing his hair out, the whole deal. It's Pharrell on a bench.
There's listening to Sports Grid, then there's
listening to Sports Grid.
You know you're doing it right when friends ask you about the week's matchups, the wife is happy, and your teenager regards you with quiet awe.
Here's your slippers, Dad.
Keep listening
to the Sports Grid Radio Network.
All right, Pharrell on the bench. So I got to tell you, I've been watching this thing on ABC about 9/11. It's like the women of 9/11 or whatever. And that's all wonderful and fine. They're interviewing all of these women that it impacted when it happened 20 years ago. And, you know, it doesn't matter if they're interviewing men, women, and, you know, cops, firemen, news reporters, civilians, it doesn't matter to me who they interview. It's just the footage of it is so unbelievable. And it's just so surreal. It's almost like a movie that it's not even real, but it is real. And I can't even believe that it, you know, obviously that it happened. I can't believe that I was living in Midtown Manhattan when it happened. I was living on 34th and Lex. And I'll never forget it. Like, hopefully I'll never forget it. I was there. And I remember I was doing mornings on NEW in New York. And it just was the craziest thing. When it went down, I just remember at one point, you know, I just remember being like trapped, right, in Manhattan, and phones didn't work. And I remember walking like, you know, lunchtime. This is after it had already happened. And then Midtown Manhattan, like, you know, it's not downtown where the World Trade Centers are. And I, you know, I was walking on, I think, 3rd Avenue. And I saw all these people like out eating lunch in, you know, little cafes and restaurants. They all have, Mafia knows, they all have like outdoor dining and tables and awnings. And it was such a beautiful day. I remember, you know, it was just so surreal. The day was perfect, right? There wasn't a cloud in the sky. And nobody where I was knew what had happened, that I saw sitting there just normally going about their lunch, having a lunch, having a date, having a meal, a business lunch, whatever. People just sitting there doing their thing, drinking wine, eating salads, lunch, whatever. And they didn't know what I knew because I had seen it. And I had already seen everything happen. And I was, you know, watching on television. And then eventually I tried to go down there and help. I never got near the place. I ran down there with a case of like water. And, you know, I was a long way from there, if you really think about it, city block wise. I mean, that is a long run. Like, you're talking, I don't even know, Mafia, how far do you think that is? Like 34th and Lex to downtown. I mean, that's pretty far. You're talking a good 25-minute run, right?
Yeah, at least. And if you could even run that far, you know, because it's a lot of traffic, a lot of, you know, city blocks. There's probably a good couple miles right there.
Right. So anyway, I couldn't even get near it. You couldn't even get near downtown or the World Trade Centers. You couldn't even get near what had happened. And I didn't even, I think I was in shock. I just remember running, you know, and then eventually being told by police to get out. You're not getting anywhere downtown. You're not going downtown. You're not getting anywhere near it. Turn around. So I went back to my apartment and I, you know, watched on television, and I just remember being fixated to the television for, you know, days, because you couldn't go anywhere. The trains weren't working. The subway wasn't working. The boats weren't working. Ferries weren't working. You couldn't do anything. You couldn't get out of New York City. You couldn't do a thing. You were trapped if you lived in the city. And so that's what I did. I remember watching on TV, and I remember not being able to communicate with anyone on a phone as to where I was and if I was safe and if I was okay and all the rest. Obviously, I was not there in downtown or anywhere near the World Trade Centers, but I lived in New York City, and I was there for all of it, right? It was crazy. I remember just sirens and cop cars and just ambulances and fire trucks just shredding up and down, you know, 34th Street and where I lived, and you know, 3rd Avenue, 2nd, 1st. You could hear them, just sirens all day, all night. Endlessly, just one after the next. It never ended. And I just remember you couldn't go anywhere. You couldn't drive anywhere. All the roads were closed. The cops kept everybody out. The firemen, they kept everybody out. Was your dad involved in that, Mafia? Like, where was he with the FDNY?
Yeah, originally he was out on the island where we live. He was doing, you know, a side gig working on a house. Him and my uncle, who was a detective in the police department at that point, were both just doing something on the side. And then, you know, it happened. And immediately they packed their stuff up because they knew they're going to get called in. When something like that happens, they call everybody in, as they did. And first he was stationed out what they call Coney Island, Brooklyn. So it wasn't near the city at all. And, you know, but when they called everybody in, he wasn't on shift. They were just sitting there while they're watching all these other fire trucks from, you know, places that are volunteer firemen trying to roll up and help. And they're like, what are we doing here? You know, letting these people who are untrained go there while we're sitting at the firehouse. So him and a bunch of his buddies grabbed their gear and just jumped in the one guy's car, drove as close as they could, you know, with their badges and stuff, and then got out and just walked onto the scene and, you know, worked it. And then he ended up doing a 60-day detail there where for 60 days, you know, for like 5 days a week, he just reported to Ground Zero and went through the rubble afterwards.
I mean, it was, oh, God, that was grim. So my buddy, and it's weird, I just heard from him a few months ago, a cop friend of mine who originally he worked in Midtown, whatever, and he took me downtown to Ground Zero, and he worked in the morgue at Ground Zero when it happened. Like, so he was a cop and they brought him down there to work, and then they gave him this assignment, and it was working in, you know, in the morgue. This guy was checking you know, torsos, body parts, heads, legs, you name it. He was checking, bagging, and doing that for, you know, a couple months. And all I know is he, like, you know, that had a huge toll on him. It took a toll and a huge impact on him psychologically, mentally. And he was a mess. And he ended up moving away after it all blew over and it was all over with and done. He moved upstate and, like, moved onto a lake in the woods and never heard from him again. Then this year I heard from him. I heard from the guy a few months ago, and he finally tracked me down because he had seen or heard me on Sports Grid or on Sirius XM or whatever. And the guy tracked me down, and he was, like, telling me the story. He's like, can you believe that I haven't seen you since that day that I drove you to Ground Zero and you got to see it? I got to go right in there, Ground Zero. I got to go on this tour with a hard hat on and everything. I still have the NYPD helmet. And I went down there, man. It just made me cry. I've never seen anything like that hole in the ground. I've never seen anything like that devastation and that destruction. That was the craziest thing I've ever seen. I'll talk more about it later. We got a lot going on here tonight. Haro's coming on the bench. They were going through the motions. They were lifeless.
I don't like that or condone that at all.
I play it straight up, yo.
All right, Pharrell on the bench on a late Wednesday night. By the way, just as you know, I'm a meteorologist in my spare time. I just wanted to update. Mavi is really excited about it. Hurricane Larry will visit us this evening here in about an hour, if that, where New York City and Jersey and Long Island will be hammered once again with massive amounts of rain and wind over the next day. It's going to start now, like in a half hour, and go literally all day tomorrow, allegedly, is what they're saying. So I just wanted to be clear. They're talking about 10, 15-foot wave surge. That out in Bermuda, it's crazy, and then it's just blowing this way with bands and high winds and giant waves. And then we're going to get, you know, well, just so we're clear, all of New York City and New Jersey was destroyed by Ida, and, you know, tons of people died. Everything was destroyed, homes, businesses, everything, like cars floating, people missing, dead. It's crazy. So that'll be three hurricanes in 3 weeks. Henri, Ida, now Larry, and now there's another one, Mindy, Mark and Mindy or something, coming in Florida. So just so we're clear, the world is ending, but at least we have Rick Haro on the line to talk sports business. Rick, did you like that?
That was well done, by the way. That was probably one of the most irresponsible bits of information that I've ever heard in my life. I just turned on. I looked at the radar because I wanted to see if the world's coming to an end. The world's not coming to an end. It's going to be about a 20-minute storm, and then you're done. So That's fine. Larry is going to pummel Bermuda. Last time I checked, Bermuda is like 1,400 miles away from New York City, so I wouldn't worry about that too much.
No. Once again, Rick is wrong because he's in D.C., and the weatherman down there is a former state senator, and he has no idea what he's talking about. But here in New York and in New Jersey, it's going to rain from 11 p.m. until tomorrow at 7 o'clock in the evening. It's going to rain nonstop. So just batten down the hatches, get ready for – you want to wake me up?
I'm going to call you in the morning and wake you up and see if it's raining. And see if
there's nothing you can do, Haro, to phase me. As you know, when it comes to torrential rains, hurricanes, earthquakes, flooding, fires, mudslides, everything that ever happens to you in Miami comes right into New York and hits us way worse than what happened in Miami. It always is worse here. As you
know. Well, you're not ready for it like we are. Yeah, I agree. That's totally right. So how were we with the University of Miami game? Did we predict 44-10? No, we didn't. So the Hurricanes go from number 14 to number 24 and probably deserve to go down even further. The good thing was, you know, an early loss against a pro team, if they ran the table, which they're not good enough to do, but if they ran the table, they're back again. So I'd rather lose a game early, like we all say.
Yeah, first of all, I bet on Alabama, and I laid 19.5 and covered both ends of it, money line and spread, because I have absolutely no faith in Miami's ability to beat a really good football team, which is what Alabama is. Miami can beat a bunch of average teams and hack teams. They can't beat any good teams at all, ever, anymore. So that's just all there is to it. You know it, I know it, and anybody that doesn't know it, they're going to know it soon enough because it's the same old story. They got their ass beat, and that's all there is to it. Let me start with, I know a lot of ranked football teams lost, and it changed the coaches' poll, the AP poll. I don't care about any of that. I guess I want to ask you this question about it. How dangerous do you think it is watching college football like Blacksburg, Ann Arbor, wherever, the Miami game, the Clemson, Georgia game, UCLA, LSU, and you see these packed stadiums with fans going crazy and no one wearing masks when this, COVID is worse now than it was a year ago.
Yeah. Well, I still don't get how for example, that Sturgis, South Dakota super spreader event with the bicyclists. Right. So every year it causes a tremendous spike. Now we've had 2 years in a row of that, and we're all railing against that. But somehow people sitting in a stadium together is not the same issue, even if they're not masked. I get it. The one thing that I noticed yesterday when I was at the Open is that the volunteers were stopping people, and they actually asked for your vaccination card. And if you didn't have it, they turned you away. So I think that's good. I really do. So maybe the issue is, no masks are okay if you're vaccinated, and that's still taking a lot of risks, but I think that's the way we're managing things in the future. There will be a lot of stadiums where they're really going to check vaccination cards, but we're going to see a lot this weekend.
Do you think Roberto Duran could have a late marketing push in his life and do a no mask commercial?
That's not
make
bad.
A bunch of money?
That's really not bad, and frankly, If the agent is there to listen to that, you should get 10% of what that's worth, which is probably nothing. But that's a good
idea. Thank you very much.
Yeah.
I wanted to, before I get into the NFL and all its news, I have to say, because Carver High does the show, as you know, and has a massive gambling problem with golf. He bets on golf like he's out of control. His wife's going to leave him. He bets like 60 tickets every week on every golf tournament the whole season. He's like obsessed with it. And the one guy that he says he'll never bet on ever because he folds like a cheap deck of cards and he's the worst closer ever was Patrick Cantlay. And he used to, and Mafia knows this, God is my witness, he says, I'll never bet on Patrick Cantlay. And to everyone's surprise, but not mine, because I bet on him. I said on the show Friday, I go, I'm pulling for Cantlay. He's got a 2-stroke lead. And if he wins that $15 million, it's going to be the end of you because I'm never going to let you forget it. because if that guy beats all the best golfers in the world, in my opinion, he is the best golfer in the world this year. The golfer of the year is the guy that wins the $15 million and holds off all the best golfers in the world and still wins. You can't tell me that that guy's not the golfer of the year.
And if Rahm had won, you'd say the same thing about Rahm as far as golfer of the year. I totally agree with you. So that $15 million is not just the issue. The issue, as I do agree, is that the guy, you know, stared down Jon Rahm. It was an incredible event. He stared down DeChambeau. He'll stare down anybody. I love the demeanor. I love the even keel. And, you know, he might have blown it in the past, but certainly not now. And to win back-to-back events, effectively the semifinals and finals, is pretty stout. So you don't see the guy in any endorsements because he's vanilla. So what does vanilla really mean in golf? It just means you're consistent and you're stable, and that's pretty good spokesman quality too. I mean, Ricky Fowler is not vanilla, but you know what kind of what's he won recently? So I would take Cantlay now, not only as the best golfer in the world because he earned it, but we're going to see him win a major next year.
Well, Ricky Fowler's one of your neighbors now. Dude, when you drive by his driveway and he's getting his garbage can at the end of the driveway on a Thursday morning, do you even say hi to him anymore? Do you give him the finger? Do you just? It sounds like you don't think he's got any game anymore. Now, as a neighbor, it's not very neighborly, Rick.
Well, no, but he's, you know, he'd try to sell me insurance. Right. I mean, that's what he would try to do. So I don't, you know, somewhere between the finger and ignoring. It's respect, because here's why I respect Ricky Fowler. Anybody who's really won no majors and really has not won anything really significant, but has earned the amount of money that he's earned at the endorsement table, you got to admire that because he's got it. Well, whatever it means, it translates into television commercials. You know, let's just hope in the future for him that he backs it up. I'm not sure whether he's past the point of winning a major. We used to say that about Sergio Garcia. He won one. You know, we've said that about guys that are a bit older. They win them. But the bottom line of this is that it's about time. We're running out of patience a little bit with Ricky Fowler and his major.
I think he, and this goes to my credit only, Horowitz, has nothing to do with this comment. I think he looks like a, because I know everyone, all the girls think he's cute. I actually think he looks like a porn movie director with that mustache of his. Like, I just could see him in
because,
like a,
you know, I'm glad you made that comment. You know, I have no desire to even get into this kind of conversation because I don't like the mustache either.
Hey,
that doesn't matter. You know, really.
Mafia, I know you like that one. I mean, come on. Mafia's he's got to support me on that one.
Yeah, it's a pretty bad one. At some point, you just got to realize it's not going to grow, it's not going to get full, and you just got to get rid of it.
All right. So when we come back, we're going to talk about the NFL's obsession with gambling. I never thought I'd say that, but it's true. What they found taboo for the last two decades, suddenly now they are in bed with every gambling company on the face of the earth. Who aren't they in bed with? It is truly amazing. We're going to talk to Rick about that. The Bengals are going cashless. Maybe they should just go pantsless because, I mean, does anyone wear the pants in that franchise? I'm not sure. They are awful. We're going to talk about the NFL sponsors, who's in, who's out. And we're going to get into everything you can fathom, including talking bad about powerful men that get DUIs.
Every day, sports happens.
It never stops.
And neither do we. Get the expert perspectives you need. Strategies and vital information you won't get anywhere else. You're listening to the home of the Winning Edge. This is the Sports Grid Radio Network.
All right, for all on the bench, we're talking to Rick Haro, Sports Business and Legal Insider on the network. So the NFL added new betting partners. They already had Caesars, DraftKings, FanDuel. They were already in bed with them. And now they've added FoxBet, BetMGM, PointsBet, and WinBet. I mean, you know, they're in bed with every single, basically every sports book there is. I mean, I know there's a few others, but not many. It is amazing to me after 20 years of, you would have thought it was heroin that they were, it was so anti-gambling, the NFL. It was more than anything on earth. They hated the word sports betting, gambling. The NFL wanted no part of it. They wouldn't even recognize it. The point spreads, the fact that they were in the paper, was, I'm sure the NFL sued to have papers not carry point spreads. And the fact that nowadays they're in bed with every one of them, to me, is laughable. I think it's so funny that they're now making, printing money off of sports betting. And it's their new lover.
Yeah, well, you know, listen, it's ironic. But it's understandable, and the NFL is looking anywhere from $16 to $17 to $18 billion this year in revenue. And how do they get it? They get it with found money from fantasy and gambling. I was looking back in my files before I left town for a couple of days, and I looked at the 1998 notes that I had for an NFL meeting. And we still had a lot of stadium stuff that we had to get finished in Chicago and Cleveland and Denver and a whole bunch of places. And the notes were, you know, don't tackle casino gambling revenue. You got to build a stadium. You got to get the raise the money, but don't touch Indian gaming. Don't touch casino sponsorships. Don't touch direct fantasy. Leave any gambling money alone because that is radioactive. And we've come a long way in 20-some-odd years. And obviously after the Supreme Court decision, there was this discussion about what is the integrity fee going to be, where is the league going to get their revenue. But then they decided to bypass the states and not worry about state stuff, and then they would deal directly with BetMGM and PointsBet and FanDuel and DraftKings and have all the relationships and let the states and the gaming companies fight it out over what the revenues are. The NFL just provides the platforms, and the platforms are prolific, and we have very significant revenue dollars. And as we begin the season, that's all we talk about. And that's a great thing, both on college and pro football level, because we've got some extra dollars. And as long as it's done the way it ought to be, you see the money from all of the states, $150 to $300 million a year. And that's supposed to go, if it's done right, schools, bridges, roads, infrastructure, all of that. So the system is a lot different than it was 4 years ago, you can be sure.
Well, you know, I have a hard time always believing that they're going to use gambling money to fix our roads and schools and help, you know, with things like that or even anything else, homelessness, food for the poor, whatever. I just don't believe that. I just don't believe it. I'll never believe
that. Well, let's
that.
Do this.
I just, I think the states are corrupt. I think the fact that they're taking 50% in New Jersey of every dollar is insanity to me. And I want, you know, I guarantee you in the next 10 years, I bet 10 years from now, they're going to be running stories of how all the gambling money was stolen by the states and they never spent it on any of it. It was just stolen by politicians.
Well, that's on them.
I'll bet my life on it.
That's one way of putting it. No, and you got to watch it. It's you got to be careful. You do know that, for example, the Virginia sports money betting take in July was $234 million in June, not July. $234 million. So you got to watch where it goes. I mean, it doesn't evaporate in thin air. We do know that's $200-some-odd million more than they had when gambling wasn't in existence. He got some administrative fees, but that is negligible. So the answer is these are general revenues the state needs to use, and what are they going to use it for? Well, if they don't use it correctly, it's shame on us because we've had long enough to try to figure out how states are going to do stuff, but that is the one value we've got here. It's not putting the money in the league's pocket. It's not putting money in the players' pockets as much as it's giving the state. As you said, state take 50% off the top. Is it too much or is it not? Well, the deal is what the deal is, and now they've got to start spending it on social good.
So the NFL has 41 sponsorship deals ready to go starting tomorrow. And what I want to know about is, you know, I heard your update in the break about all the ones that are in bed with them. But what about the original ones that have always been there? Are they all in or not? Anheuser-Busch, Pizza Hut, et cetera, Marriott, Bose. Are all of them Frito-Lay, Gatorade, they're all in or they aren't?
They are. They're all in, but that's not the story as much as the new guys and the beginning of the year stuff. Diageo and you know, some of the newer sponsors. 41 is a really significant total. All of the guys, you know, the most significant incumbent sponsor is Gatorade. They've been around the longest. Frito-Lay, Bose, Pepsi, Marriott, as you said, AB InBev, they've all been around, not as long as Gatorade, but then Cisco Systems, FanDuel, Truist, all of those companies making their full high-price, full season debut this year. Then you got the betting deals, as we've said, and then you got the bigger incumbents. 41 sponsors just around the league. Now, that doesn't include the team sponsors as well, and then the players' NIL stuff on the college level. Corporations are coming back like never before. It's a good thing.
So how about the powerful people that continue to embarrass themselves and go out drinking and then get pulled over for drunk driving, like the Mets GM, Zach Scott, and now the one that really blew my mind, I couldn't even believe it. I mean, Mark Few, the Gonzaga head coach, who knew that Mark liked having a few? You know what I mean? No pun intended, because he got pulled over and got a DUI.
Yeah, he got pulled over by an Idaho cop, I guess it was Coeur d'Alene, and he's a hero up there. So I'm surprised. Maybe I shouldn't say it, but I'm surprised he couldn't kind of talk his way out of that deal, but he couldn't. And so on Zach Scott, he refused to take the breathalyzer test. He refused to give blood, so he's in trouble. And everybody's saying, well, you know, he left Steve Cohn's house. Steve Cohn, the owner of the Mets, that was a fundraiser, and trying to link it back to the owner. That's not relevant. The relevant thing is that he didn't take the breathalyzer test. And now Sandy Alderson, as you see, is resuming the full-time duties until we can figure the thing out with Zach Scott. I like Sandy Alderson a lot. Know him, really great face of baseball, and he may restore some credibility to the Mets now, because they're having, as we know, mega trouble on and off the field.
So let me ask you this question. I don't know anything about, Mafia does, but you can fill me in, about Patty the Batty Pimblett. Is he the new rage?
I'll fill you in. Yeah, if you want to. So listen, the UFC needs some new faces, and the guy is, you know, charisma laden. His post-fight interview with one of the guys, he said the new king is here. He made comparisons to Conor McGregor. The guy's only 26. You're right. You don't know a lot about him. I don't either. But this may be one of the new faces of the UFC. And I got to tell you, with all of Conor McGregor's stuff, even if he was a choir boy, the UFC needs more than one face.
Yeah, you got that right. Mafia, real quick, is he any good?
That's the first time I've heard him mentioned. I didn't pay attention to his fight, so I have no idea who he is.
All right, there you go. So he's the new Conor McGregor that everybody's talking about. Let's talk about Donald Trump. He's announcing the Holyfield fight with Vitor Belfort this weekend. There's also Tito Ortiz, Anderson Silva. The former president of the United States and his son are calling the fights. I mean, what is going on there?
Well, it's pay-per-view, so it's an idea of getting some revenue. Who knows where the revenue is going to go? Maybe the re-election campaign, assuming that's going to happen. Let me just leave it at this, because I know politically we're not supposed to talk about this. It's September 11th, and it's the 20th anniversary of September 11th, and I'm not sure that's the best thing for a former president to do. Let me just leave it at that.
Fair enough. And we were talking about 9/11 before you came on, because it's the 20-year anniversary of it. And I was talking about living in Manhattan when it happened and what it was like. It's crazy. So you enjoyed the U.S. Open and going to Flushing and seeing all that?
Well, and the thing was, talked to Chris Widmeyer, who's the managing director, and you know they've got some issues this year as far as economics because a lot of the international spectators couldn't make it over. So it was 15%, maybe a little more. Did a podcast with him that we'll hear on the network. And the problem is that those people couldn't come this year. Last year they had no fans. But he also said, here's the bright thing. He opened tickets up to the kind of Eastern Seaboard, Boston, Washington, to get access to tickets that they otherwise wouldn't get because the international fans weren't there. Crowded. They marked up the price of the lobster. I was only going to buy one claw because I'm not that expensive of a taste. But clearly, the concessions are better than ever. And I will tell you this. I had a hot dog there. It is among the best hot dogs I've had in the last year.
Oh, a new hot dog evaluation here. Antoine Griezmann, how about he left Barcelona as well? I mean, the whole team, they're selling everybody off dirt cheap.
Yeah, well, here's why. Because even you and I both know, and we don't have to be business majors to know that if you have a payroll that's 102% of your revenue, and that doesn't even include overhead and rent and everything else, you are in deep trouble, not to mention the 70% salary to expense ratio that La Liga has. And so they are in trouble not only now, but they got to readjust their entire management scheme. Their brand has taken a major hit, so they may be inconsequential for a while.
All right, so Mafia, Haro gets very mad at me if I don't golf with him, and he thinks that I blew him off today to go golfing in New York on such a glorious day. But I did have obligations. Today I had to hang out at my house where my new hot tub I have dealt with for 2 months trying to get this hot tub to work, and the heating unit and the electrical. I finally got the electrical work done today, and I got all the stuff put in my sub panel. I got everything going. I had it all going. I had the pool guy here. I had the contractor here. I had the inspector here. I had the electrician here, and the hot tub is still not hot at the end of the day. So if I would have gone golfing with Haro, I would have been in a fight with 34C. If I would have gone golfing with Haro, I would have been in a fight with Haro, cussing the whole day because my hot tub is cold. I have a cold tub. I have to go, Rick. I'll see you tomorrow on Coast to Coast.
See you, man.
There you go. It's Rick Haro on the bench. Problem with people. Everybody expects every team in the effing league to win the Super Bowl. One team wins. The rest of them lose.
Nothing for you.
How about that? One last indignity.
All right, for all on the bench. Bottom of the ninth now. The Yankees are down 6-3 to the Jays. They're going to lose again. That'll be five in a row. And I think I can't even keep track of the Blue Jays have been on fire. I want to get it right here. If you go back to last Wednesday, they beat the Orioles. Then they beat the A's, swept them. So that's four in a row. Five with the Yankees, six with the Yankees. Tonight will be seven in a row at the very least. And and it's like 9 of 10, something like that, 10 of 11, somewhere in that neighborhood. They are just humiliating everyone. They're beating good teams like the A's, swept them. They're on the verge of beating the Yankees in three straight. And then tomorrow night, they go for the four-game insult dog sweep. Berríos against Cortes tomorrow night in the Bronx. You lose all four to Toronto, I mean, I think they're, it's like they're shot. I mean, the Yankees have collapsed. They've absolutely, they won 13 in a row, then they fell on their face. And actually, Mafia, it's making him happy. It's the first time he's been happy tonight. He's been very angry with no college football spreads out. And the fact that the Yankees are going to lose three in a row to the Jays makes him very happy.
Hey, it's Ryan Seacrest. Life comes at you fast, which is why it's important to find some time to relax. A little you time. Enter Chumba Casino. With no download required, you can jump on anytime, anywhere for the chance to redeem some serious prizes. So treat yourself with Chumba Casino and play over 100 online casino-style games, all for free. Go to ChumbaCasino.com to collect your free welcome bonus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and Leon starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.